This dispensation of grace is indeed the era of the Spirit, in which true believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are truly blessed. On today's broadcast titled, Joy, Love, Peace, recorded September 15th, year 2024, on Apostolic Square in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Bishop Omega encourages us to have faith regardless of circumstance, knowing full well that the Holy Ghost dwells within us. The text begins in the book of John, 7th chapter, 37th verse. The principal text is found in the book of John, 16th chapter.
Today, as always, I believe I have a wonderful sermon to share with you, a word from the Lord. And I want to speak of something that comes out of the upper room discourse. This is John 7, 37. He also referred to it in John 4. But let's go to John 7, 37 through 39. Read that, please.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Now, is Jesus talking about H2O?
No, sir.
No, because it's going to go on to tell you that. Read on, please.
But this spake he of the Spirit.
But this he was talking about the Spirit. Of this he's talking about the Holy Ghost. He's saying, by this, I want you to see that. Everyone agrees. He said, by this, referring to living waters. So he's not talking about H2O. He's talking about
the Spirit,
the Holy Ghost. Now, when the Holy Ghost comes, he will be that life-giving source. Well, I'm already breathing. So what life is he talking about? Well, your spiritual life here now, in this life, empowering you to produce fruit of the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, dependent on the Spirit. Just as Jesus was dependent on God the Father, he's saying, when I leave, I want you all dependent on the Spirit. You know, we call this age the dispensation of grace. You know what it's also called, or could be called? Actually, the era of the Spirit. This is the era in which the Spirit is doing everything. This is the era of the Holy Ghost. The first thing we see that the Spirit does is provide life, spiritual life now, and then on into eternity. By this, he spoke of the Spirit. Everyone's there? All right, that's number one for those of you that take notes. And I'm saying this for a reason, what the Spirit does, what the Holy Ghost does. Because you have a different, some people have a different notion as to what the Holy Ghost makes you do. Hobbala, hobbala, jumping around, bump that. And that is not stated. But what the Bible says, how many of you here want the Bible? All right, what the Bible states the Holy Ghost does was, first of all, it's a life-giving source. We saw that, right? John 7, 37 through 39, that's number one. Now, number two, go to John, please. John 14, 16 and 17.
John 14, at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter.
Another of the same kind. And comforter means helper, strengthener, encourager. Comfort, one that comforts. He will send you another, because while Jesus was there with them, he was the comforter.
Yes, sir.
We understand that? That's why he said another comforter. But when he's there walking with the disciples, Peter, this and this one, this, he's comforting them. He was protecting them. He was strengthening them.
Amen.
Even when he said, who do you look for? Jesus of Nazareth. Then let them go. Here I am. Take me.
Amen.
He protected them, right? But now he's leaving, so he's leaving them another protector, another comforter, another strengthener, another encourager of the same kind, allos, not heteros, meaning another of a different kind. The Greek words, because we only have one in English, but in the Greek from which this was originally translated, there are two, and this is allos, another of the same kind. Right? So he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter or helper.
That he may abide with you forever.
That he may stay with you forever.
Even the Spirit of truth.
He's even called the Spirit of truth.
whom the world cannot receive.
The world cannot receive the Holy Ghost because the world is opposed to Jesus. The world rejects Jesus. Amen. They cannot receive the Holy Ghost.
Because it seeth him not.
Because they don't really know him. Don't you all use the expression, oh, I see what you mean. Mm-hmm. I accept what you mean. I understand what you mean. The world can't see him. Yes. They can't accept him. Mm-hmm. Right? Go ahead. Because they're opposed to Jesus.
But ye know him.
But you know him.
For he dwelleth with you.
Now, and what else, minister?
And shall be in you.
Did you see the difference? Not just with you, no. Yes. Jesus saying, I'm taking you all into a new era. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will not only be with you, but in you. So, the second thing the Holy Ghost does is indwells you. The first thing you saw, right, was that he would be a life-giving source. Rivers of living waters flowing out of your belly. He's not talking about your physical belly, and he's not talking about H2O. He's saying it will be the Holy Ghost in you, providing spiritual life in this life, and then on into eternity, eternal life. Then he will also not be with you, but be in you. That's the second thing, to indwell you. I want you to see what the scripture says the purpose of the Holy Ghost is. Not what you've come to think, but what the scripture says. And here's number three. Number three, same chapter, John 14, 26 and 27.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things.
Oh, so he's going to teach. So the things that I told you, Jesus is saying, that you all can understand face to face, when the Holy Ghost comes and not only is with you, but is in you, is going to teach you. Show you these complicated concepts which seem now hard to understand. So those of you that really have the Holy Ghost, don't tell me you can't understand Scripture. Now, because some concepts may be more complicated than others, but you will get the basics that get you saved. Because it says if you have the Spirit in you, he will teach. Yes. So the Holy Ghost's purpose or ministry will be to teach. Amen. Those who are true disciples of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He will not only indwell you, but he'll teach you.
Yes.
He's going to have a ministry of teaching. Did you read 27 as well?
No, sir. May I finish
26? Yes, please.
Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
So he gives you a certain kind of understanding through teaching that provides a certain kind of peace.
Amen.
And we're going to get to that further in a minute. And here's the fourth thing I want to emphasize that the ministry of the Holy Ghost does. He empowers you to witness. Hmm. Not only does he witness for Jesus. Not only does the Holy Ghost testify on behalf of Jesus, but also gives you the wherewithal and the ability to go out and witness, testify for Jesus. Read, please, John 15, 26 and 27.
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father,
which comes from the Father,
he shall testify of me.
He's going to witness about Jesus. All right, what else will he do?
And ye also shall bear witness.
He's going to make you able to bear witness.
Because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Because you've been with me from the beginning, talking to those disciples immediately around him.
Amen.
So he has a ministry of witnessing, testifying on behalf of Jesus. From John 13 to 16, Jesus is telling them, I got to go away, and I'm just summing it up. You're going to have some hard times. I'm going to leave you another. Don't be afraid. You believe in God, I'll believe also in me. No one can come to the Father except by me. Jesus is giving them all this, and then Jesus is using a lot of obscure language. You know, and he's not very clear. When I say clear, he's using parables and talking in ways that they really don't understand. And you're going to see later, they say, now you're speaking to us clearly. Because here's Jesus talking about, let me give you some examples. The vine and the branches. What's he talking about? I am the vine, you are the branches. He's that's connected to me. The Father's going to come and prune those that done. They said, you're always talking parables. Then he goes on, washing of the feet. Oh, we thought he was talking about really washing physical feet. And he's saying, no, help one another with your daily sins. Repent every day of your daily sins. You're already saved, washed every whit, has no need to be washed again, saved again. Then he uses other language like, we're going to get to in a minute, woman in childbirth. What's he talking about? The disciples are going to conclude. And then yet it's going to be all made clear, hopefully today. Now, Jesus, having gone through all of this from chapter 13 of John's Gospel, to 16, brings us to where I am today. This is my main reference today, is John, the 16th chapter. I want to start at the 16th verse, but to get you there, I'm going to start at the first verse. And to get you there, I want to start in the 15th chapter at the 18th verse. There's a reason for all of this, because you have to understand when we get to where we're going, why we're saying what we're saying, why the word is saying what it's saying. So to try to condense this in the short amount of time that we're going to share today with each other, let us tell you that Jesus was telling them, listen, the world is going to hate you. It hated me. And let me just begin at the 18th chapter of the 18th verse of the 15th chapter of John. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Jesus is telling them this is foreboding. This has a sense of foreboding. They're like, what is he talking about? Persecution's coming. He's leaving us. He's leaving us somebody else. Have we ever met this guy? The Holy Ghost. It's like, who is it? It's all obscure. He goes on. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Meaning those that persecute true Christians don't know God. That's what he's saying. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. And notice the term sin there is singular. So the sin he's referring to is not your daily sins. It's the sin of not believing who he is. That's the sin he's talking about here. If I had not come and showed them and spoke to them, they would have no sin of unbelief. Notice the term is singular. But now they have sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin, singular again. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I hadn't, here's why he's saying, backing up that the sin is not believing in him. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. What's the sin he's talking about? Obviously not believing in him. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their law. He's speaking of the Jews who rejected him. They have hated me without a cause. Written in their law, that's Psalm 35:19b and Psalm 69:4, for those of you that take notes. They've hated me without a cause. And Jesus applied that to himself, saying they've misunderstood. They hate the Father, they hate me, they're going to hate you. Now, this is something even applicable for Christians today. Whenever you're having it rough, whenever you're looked at as weird, whenever the world looked at as weird by the world, having it rough because of the world and because of your belief in Jesus, Jesus is telling them here, take heart. You're not greater than I am. They did it to me. Jesus is saying, and this has to be repeated by pastors, because Christians, we can tend to get a little arrogant. Like, why is this happening to me? And then Jesus brought you back down to earth and said, are you greater than I am? And yet you claim to love me. If you love me, Jesus said, get ready. They hated me. You look and act like me. They're going to hate you too. But if you blend into the world now, he doesn't mean blend in terms of keeping peace with all men. But he means if you, in your ways and customs, you look no different from anybody else in the world. If you become part of this evil system which hates Jesus, there will be no distinguishing you from the evil. So are you really Christian then? No. You stand up because you tell the truth. You don't lie. You're on time for work. You're honest. You don't commit adultery or fornication with impunity. This is how we are different from the world. What does it say? Love not the world, neither the things that are in it. Did you ever notice right after it lists what the things are? It doesn't mean hate a bus and we all have to go walking because Jesus never rode a bus, so let's ride a donkey. It says hate the things that are in the world. That's not what it's talking about. Here's what common sense has to take over. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in it. And then it begins to tell you fornication, this and that, and whatever, evil, murder, whatever it is. These are the things in the world we are not to love.
Amen.
Now, I read down to 25, right?
Yes,
from John 15, 18 through 25. Now, Jesus goes on. But when the helper or the comforter comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, as we just read, and you also, verse 27, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, these things I have said to you, spoken to you. Now, what are the these things? That's why I read 18 through 27. Those are the things he's talking about, in particular, 18 through 25. That's the things, these things I have spoken to you. Not necessarily was he referring here specifically to everything from the first verse of chapter 13 to now. But he's saying these things from 18 through 25. These things I've spoken to you.
That you should not be offended.
That now, what is that? That you should not be offended or should not stumble. That you should not stop believing in me. To be offended in Jesus or to stumble. So you know that now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. It doesn't mean this kind of falling. It means to fall away from true faith in Jesus, to fall away from the pure Bible doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Not stuff that men make up, but now to him that's able to keep you from messing up. That's what it means by from falling or stumbling or being offended.
Amen.
He says, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble or be offended.
They shall put you out of the synagogue.
Let me tell you what else is going to happen. You're going to have religious persecution.
Amen.
Some of you might sit here today and say, but we're not Jewish and we're not in a synagogue. Stay with me.
Amen.
You may run into religious persecution. He was speaking specifically to Jewish people then who were attending synagogues.
Yeah.
Well, you attend the church today. And if you stick to pure Bible, some churches may put you out because we want to jump the pews and fall out and go, ha, da, da, and say it's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He says, I'm telling you these things now so you won't mess up where your faith is concerned.
Amen.
You're going to suffer religious persecution, true believers in Jesus, yes.
Yeah, the time cometh.
Time is coming.
That whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service.
Now, let's go by extension. I know he was talking to the Jewish people then in the synagogues. But today, there is a certain fanatical religious group that think they're doing God a service by flying airplanes into buildings and killing people, by subjecting women to the status of chattel and all but an actual slaves. And they think they're serving God. See, we have to know how to extrapolate. Take what he's saying and apply it to today. They think they're serving God, misguided, and killing you, persecuting you. He said the time, Jesus warned them, the time is coming when whosoever kills you will think they offer service to God. By extension, that is very true today, even if we Christians. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But don't they think they know the Father? They think, or they pray to God, and some of them are well-intentioned. But even their own religion doesn't say fly airplanes into buildings. Anyway, we're not going to get into that. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I have told you of them. In other words, when it happens, remember I had the foresight to warn you, so you're going, he was telling the truth. So don't be shocked and turn. I'm not going to believe in Jesus. Look what I'm going through. Jesus was telling those disciples immediately around him, when these things that I'm telling you is going to happen, when they happen to you, you should get strength from it. And say, he did tell us that. That's what he's saying. Remember when these things happen. So you know I tell only the truth. The funny thing or the peculiar thing about the truth is, when it comes, everyone doesn't always want it. Yet people say, just tell me the truth. Mm-hmm, all right. Here's the truth. People don't always want to accept it. So you may remember that I told you of them. And these things
I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you.
Oh, see what I alluded to earlier? Why am I telling you these things now? Because I'm about to leave you.
Yes, sir.
I didn't start off telling you this because I was there to protect you. If anything was going to happen, don't you know my presence is all you need? Well, I'm giving you my presence now in another of the same kind.
Yes.
Called the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth. But I love the way he tells them, you notice I didn't tell you this in the beginning. I didn't have to. But I'm about to leave you. So all this discourse is setting them up for fellas and ladies, the disciples with them. I'm about to leave you. And I'm trying to strengthen you that when I am gone, remember the things I told you. And remember I said I'm leaving you another one of the same kind. I'm sending him to you from the Father. He issues forth from the Father. He is the essence of who I am. He's me with you in spirit form. That's the Holy Ghost. He never said ever once ever to get on your knees and earn me. We're going to get to that too. And we're going to see who receives the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who receives eternal life. He says, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks, now they did ask earlier, but his point is now you guys are so self-consumed, none of you are even asking me, where are you going? Mm-hmm. Now, early when Peter did ask, he's not referring to that. He's saying now that I'm telling you I'm leaving, you all are scared wondering what's going to happen to you personally. And because you don't understand everything right now because I spoke in figures and parables and foot washing and woman having a baby and branches and vines, you didn't understand me. And now that I'm going away, you're more concerned with what is he talking about rather than where are you going? Do you see the difference I'm making? When earlier they said, where are you going? He said, you can't come now. But now he's saying, I just told you all this stuff. There's these new things. And no one's asking me, where are you going? There's a difference. If you go back and make the comparison, you see what I'm talking about. Now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. That shows you they were self-concerned. Do you see why? He's letting them know, I know where you all are thinking. You're concerned about yourselves. Yes. Notice he says, sorrow has filled your hearts.
Yes, sir.
Sorrow, you're worrying about, oh, what's going to happen to me? He's leaving? No one goes, where are you going? They're going, oh, my Lord, what's going to happen to me? Mm-hmm. Sorrow has filled your hearts about you, not about him. Carry on, minister.
Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away.
It's to your advantage that I go away. And I went through some of that earlier. It advantages you that I go away.
For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of
judgment.
Now,
there again, he will reprove the world of sin for not believing in him. That's the singular term, sin there. He's talking about for not believing him. He tells you right here.
And of righteousness and of judgment.
Why?
Of sin, because they believe not on me.
Did you see what I said about the singular term sin?
Yes.
Saints, did you see it? He just said it right there. He said sin because they don't believe in me. Now, when Jesus was here walking, he put on blast, as they say, hypocrites. So he showed what true righteousness is. Now that I'm gone, he's going to convict the world of righteousness. What is hypocrisy? The Holy Ghost will take up doing what Jesus was doing when he was here physically. That's what he says. But of sin, because you don't believe in me, the world. And of righteousness, because Jesus is going to show you what true righteousness is, not self-righteousness. And that's the one sin he got on the most, self-righteousness, priggishness. Yes?
Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and ye see me no more.
Now, he said, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. What does that mean? Because I won't be here for you to see what true righteousness is like. I'm going to the Father. But the Holy Ghost will be here to convict those of self-righteousness.
Yes.
Carry on.
Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged.
And by this he's referring to his coming, soon coming death, resurrection, where Satan is finally judged.
Amen.
And by Satan, by extension, also the world and its evil system. That's what he means by, and the world is judged. because of their rejection of Christ as well. Amen. Yes?
I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now.
Now, do you see what I was talking about earlier? While he was in person, see, I know the people that are hearing me tangentially or on the surface, so superficially, think sometimes I'm insulting Jesus and I'm saying what he says. Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you. Jesus, you're standing right here and you can't explain. I can explain, but you won't get it. Mm-hmm. Because you're looking at a human. You're looking at flesh. And you're not getting everything I'm saying. This is what he's saying here. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now.
That's right.
However, when will you get it? When will you understand these deep things? Do you see what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
When will you get it? Read.
When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
All New Testament truths will be made known to you when that Holy Ghost comes, as we are now in the era of the Holy Ghost. Jesus just told you, me standing right here looking at you, you're not going to get it. You're not ready for it. You can't bear it.
Amen.
But once I leave another of the same kind, he won't only be with you, he's going to be in you and make you see this thing. And not only that, I have some truths to leave with the apostles who are going to write the New Testament.
Amen.
Do you see what he's saying? This is the era of the Spirit. This is the age of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And it's needful that he goes away. Because standing right here talking to you, some may have been looking and said, oh my God, he looks a lot like his mother. My point is they're distracted in some way. There's an impediment to them getting what he's saying. He said, but when I leave the Holy Ghost, he's going to get inside you and make you see what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
So the Holy Ghost is going to do more than you can do in the flesh? Yes, is what he's saying. Because my flesh in some way is limiting you. But won't we see him in the flesh? Yeah, but you'll be glorified and you'll be like him and all things will be made clear to you. And you'll see no longer dimly as through a glass. It won't be the same corrupted flesh we have now. This flesh now can hurt, can catch cancer, diabetes, AIDS, not the new flesh, not that made over flesh you're going to get.
Amen. Amen.
And while standing in that flesh, being just like Jesus, you'll be able to understand everything.
Amen.
You are listening to a message titled Joy, Love, Peace, preached by His Eminence, Bishop Omega, from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located at 701 South 22nd Street, Apostolic Square, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please mail all correspondence to 701 South 22nd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146, or email your communication to preacher701@cljcoaf.org. To order sermons, CDs, and DVDs, visit our website at www.701recordsshop.com. We now rejoin this message.
But the Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth. And that's one thing, another thing the Holy Ghost does, teaches us, leads us into all truth. And here he's specifically referring to New Testament truths as yet then not known. The eschatological part, that is to say the end time prophecies, they didn't know about that stuff till John said, here's what he told me.
Amen.
I was on the Isle of Patmos and this come to me. No, but there's a lot of truths in there. How about what Paul said? Paul told us things we had. Peter said, we never heard those things. He said, Jesus gave him more than he gave us.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's talking about. The Holy Ghost will lead you into all truths and able to understand them now. Jesus said, I can tell you now, but you all can't bear it. You can't handle it. You can't handle the truth. Jesus said that long before Jack.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Anyway.
Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the spirit of truth, has come.
I want you to notice that person, that pronoun too. He. He. And notice, see, this is what people get on me for saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus says he.
Amen.
Amen. Now, he says it's him in spirit form in other ways, but he also refers to him as another. So what do you have against the triune Godhead? The Bible speaks of it. And no one has ever refuted yet the scene at the baptism. You know where I'm going, right?
Yes, sir.
This is my beloved son. Mm-hmm. That's one. That's the Father. The dove lighted on him.
Yes, sir.
But it was the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Then the Son is standing there, all three present at one time. And you're going to tell me that's not a triune Godhead?
Amen. Amen.
It's common sense. How then, I beg of those who hold to this, was he Father in creation and then this full stop, modalism, Son in redemption, full stop, modalism, and now Holy Ghost in the church as if they, he, don't all exist as one at once. There are three that bear record, I love drama, that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And these three are one. There are three.
That's right. That's right.
That bear record in earth. But those three agree in one.
Amen.
Now, let me get back to where I was.
May I give you one more for you? Guys?
Please give
them. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 at verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Three. I don't get it. I don't get how this got overlooked. And then I do. He will glorify me. Verse 14.
Yes. For he shall receive of mine.
In fact, go back to 13, please.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself.
Did you see that? I love that. Again, but this is Jesus making this distinction. I thought the Holy Ghost, God the Father, and Jesus were one. Yes, but Jesus himself just right there said the Holy Ghost is not going to speak of himself.
Yes, amen.
Doesn't that sound like some kind of distinction? I hope you're getting what I'm saying. He won't speak of his own authority if he won't speak of himself, of his own authority. Well, who's giving him who's he speaking on behalf of?
But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak.
Now, thank you, miss. Now, who is the Holy Ghost listening to? Yeah. Who did he issue forth from?
Father.
So who's giving him his marching orders?
Father.
The Father.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Holy Ghost is not going to be here talking about himself. I'm this, I'm that. No. He's going to direct you about Jesus.
Amen.
Read on, please. He will not speak of his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak.
That shall... And he will show you things to come.
Now, why did he say that? Because he was talking to those then. We didn't know about revelation. Things to come. We didn't know how it was all going to work out. The church era. The church era hadn't started yet. He will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, Jesus is saying. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It glorifies Jesus.
Amen. For he shall receive of mine... and shall show it unto you.
Now, what does he mean, receive of mine? He's talking about truths, his truths. And he shall show them to you. What is truthful, what is true about Jesus? He will take or receive of mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. He's talking here, when you see the word mine there, he's talking about the truths to be revealed. They are Jesus's and the Holy Ghost's. We'll share them, declare them to us. All things that the Father has, all the truths the Father has are Jesus.
Therefore, said I...
That's why I said to you...
That he shall take of
that
mine...
That the Holy Ghost will take of what is mine...
And shall show it unto
and
you.
And show it to you.
Yeah.
Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
This is the era of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Mm. Now, here's where I wanted to get to. This is the sermon starts now. That was the warm-up. If you came here for church today, say amen.
Amen.
Right. And by church, I mean class. Now, let's learn something. Now, here's where this is our text for today. And I want you to keep in mind that this is the end of his upper room discourse from chapters 13 through 16, that's the discourse. We all know he ends that session with a prayer. That's John 17. But the discourse is from chapters 13 through 16. And this is how he's going to end the discourse, and thus today's title: Joy, Love, Peace. Out of all that he's been telling you, from chapter 1, from verse 1 of chapter 13, when the upper room discourse began, and the whole session began, to right where we are now at chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus is now going to conclude. And I want you to keep in mind, between verses 16 and 22, the theme, the joy. But I want you to look at how he builds to it. Jesus, of course, is brilliant at doing this, but I want you to see how he builds it. Here, between verses 16 and 22, the primary theme will be joy. It may not look like it at the onset, but stay with us as we progress. All right? But I want you to notice the three things he concludes this upper room discourse with is joy, love, and peace, and in that order. But let's get to it.
John chapter 16 at verse 16, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves.
Among themselves.
What
now
is
Now wait,
it?
Among themselves. They didn't necessarily say this where Jesus could hear them. They went huddled among them. Now you can imagine them over there going, what's he talking about? He's going away for a while. Jesus could be over here somewhere because it says among themselves. The implication is the disciples are here talking, but Jesus is somewhere else. That's the inference here. That's what's being implied here. Are you with me? That's why it says among themselves. Mm-hmm. That's said for a reason.
What is this that he saith unto us a little while?
What is this he's saying to us a little while?
He shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father.
Do you see how the disciples were unclear about many things he said? And they're right standing right next to him.
Yes, sir.
I want you to see this. This is what Jesus said, that you need the Holy Ghost. You need me in spirit form. I need to get in you.
Yes, sir.
And once I get in you, if you're my true disciples, first of all, I'm not getting in you unless you're my true disciple. I'll make you. I'll teach you.
Amen.
But what is this he's saying? Mm-hmm. Right there among them, and they don't understand what he's saying. All this is going to be made clear, and Jesus will address this. Now, I want you to pay attention. Jesus is, as some of the young people say, smooth. Watch this.
Verse 18, they said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith.
Now, understand what they're concerned with. They're concerned with when or how long, a little while. When is this going to happen? And why? Why does he have to go to the Father? Jesus is going to come back with how it's going to be, and what the results will be. While they're concerned with when and why, Jesus is concerned with how and what. Watch this.
19, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye see me?
Now, when I said Jesus is smooth, you know what Jesus just did? Though he wasn't in their little huddle, he made clear to them, I know what your question is. Now, watch this too. Jesus never answers their question. Now, here's why. He's smart. Of course he's smart. That's an understatement. But Jesus' point is, you have the wrong focus. But so you know that I know your query, I know what you want to know. But it's not so important when or how long it'll last. It's not so important. The important reason is why it has to happen. Do you see this? Watch Jesus. Jesus said, do you inquire? By repeating their question, Jesus is letting you know, I know what you all are asking, but watch his non-answer. Watch this. How about 19?
19, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me?
Now here's his non-answer. He's not even going to answer their question. Watch this.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy.
Did he answer their question? Did you see how subtle that was? He first of all said, I know what you all want me to answer. I'm not answering that. Let me tell you how it's going to be. Now, by doing that, he's focusing their attention. You're worried about the wrong thing. You're concerned with the wrong thing. What you should be concerned with, what's the end result? What's the end result of my going away? What's the end result of him being gone this long? The end result is joy. Notice also something he says here. He doesn't say, I'm going to replace your sorrow with joy. This is very important. He says your sorrow shall be turned to joy. The very thing that causes your sorrow is going to cause you joy. He never says, I'm going to remove your sorrow. He says the thing that caused your sorrow is going to cause your joy. What's he talking about? My death. And that's, hold on before you, well, it gets gooder. Because he says, now let me tell you what it's like. It's like a woman about to have a baby. The baby causes the pain. But when the baby comes, you don't get rid of the baby. The baby, the thing that caused the pain now causes the joy. And he likens the childbirth to that. Do you see how brilliantly he did that? He didn't answer their question. He told them, focus on the end result. What is it? Joy. Because he says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for the joy that a man or a human is born is come into being, come into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And your joy, no one will take from you. Amen. Notice, I love that. He never says, I'm going to remove your sorrow. He's saying the thing that caused, see, my death is going to make you all so sorrowful, and the world's going to rejoice. The world thinks they, Satan and the world are going to think they won. But the very thing that made you upset, the very thing that saddened you, when you realize what my death has done, sending the Holy Ghost, conquering Satan, putting an end to his reign as it were, although he's still allowed to roam, but he's saying, I really defeated him at my death. My death is going to cause you sorrow for a little while. So the time period doesn't matter. Keep focus on the end result. Just like Hebrews tells us, he was able to go to that cross, looking beyond the cross to the joy that was coming. He's telling us the same thing.
Yes, sir.
No matter how long you have to wait for him to come. Lord, I can't wait till Jesus. I know. We can't wait till he comes. But he says, stay focused on the joy that you will experience when I do come. The very thing that causes your sorrow will be turned. Sorrow will turn to joy. He didn't say he's going to remove your sorrow. No, Jesus said, I'm so awesome, I'm going to take that sorrow and turn that into joy.
Yes.
That hit me this time when I read it. Because he doesn't say, when the baby comes out, the mother goes, look what you did to me. The mother is so happy when he says, forgets the pain. He doesn't mean you actually. His point is, in comparison to the joy she now has, looking at her child, I'm talking about a normal, sane person. She's looking at the child, and she's so overwhelmed with joy that her birth pain, she's like, please. Why do you think you all have more than one? The theme of that section between 16 and 22 is joy. Does everyone see that? And now we move to love. Now keep in mind, this is after this long conversation and washing of the feet and no one gets to the Father but by me in 14. This is after all of that. Look at how he concludes his discourse. Joy. Now he goes on to love, and I call this section the transition. Let's read, please. Amen. Verse 23
of John 16. And in the days ye shall ask.
And in that day
ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you.
And I gotta go take another detour here. In that day, first of all, it's referring to Pentecost. Now, I wrote this down because I got to get this right. In my name. Did he say by using my name? See, these little things you got to pay attention to. He said, whatever you ask in my name. So that begs the question, what does in my name mean? Are you ready with your pens? Here we go. Asking in line with our Lord's objectives. To ask in anyone's name means to ask as though you are that person. So you have to be asking in accord and alignment with the objectives that Jesus wants. Why do you think he says, whatever you ask in my name? He never says by using my name. Do you understand the difference? Some people think whatever you say in the name, when you end your prayer with, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to get it. That's not what he said. You have to, first of all, understand linguistically, and I do not mean this to try to sound superior when I use it, but you have to look it up. As far as language is concerned, linguistically, that's all it means. In my name means that you're asking as though you are that person. I like this. Read on, please. He says,
John 16:23. May I do that again?
Yes, please.
And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs.
In figurative language. See, Saints, I want you to see that. These things have I spoken to you in figurative language.
But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father.
When the Holy Ghost comes, yes. He's going to make things clear. That's all he's saying. Notice it now. He said, I shall speak to you. I shall speak to you. How? Through the Holy Ghost. That's still Jesus.
Amen. Nice.
I love this. Carry on.
Verse 26, and that day ye shall ask in my name.
What day is he talking about? After Pentecost, amen. When he's left the Spirit for us to depend on. Yes?
And at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you.
Stop. And I say not unto you, I shall pray the Father. He's saying, I'm not saying that you have to ask me to ask the Father. Do you understand what he's saying here? He said it plainly. See, it's a matter of language. He's saying, you shall ask the Father in that day, after Pentecost, when I start the church, when the Holy Ghost is here, to indwell you, not just be with you, but to get in you. In that day, same thing. You don't have to worry about asking me. He said, ask the Father directly. I'm not saying that you're going to ask me to ask the Father. He just upgraded you.
Yes, sir.
For the Father himself loves you. This is what I was trying to tell you, saints. This is where he's telling you the Father. Why does he say you can ask him directly, for the Father loves you?
Because ye have loved me.
Because you have loved me. And?
And have believed.
And you behaved well. And do you see the difference here? Amen. He says because the Father has loved you. He means like he loves me. And because you have believed, not because you built this, did that, fed mother, so-and-so. No. Has nothing to do with your behavior. No. He tells you right there, it's because of your belief.
Amen.
I love this. Yes. For the Father himself loves you. Mm.
Because you have loved me.
Because you've loved me.
And have believed that I came out from God.
And you believe that I came forth from God.
Yes. I came forth from the Father.
This is the reason I came into the world. God sent me here to gather a bunch of you. Amen. To redeem. That's what he sent him here for. Now I'm going back. Now my work is done.
Amen.
That's what he's saying here. Amen. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. And again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Yes. Why? My work is done.
Yes, sir.
Now it's time for the cross. Mm. And do you know in about an hour's time he's going to be arrested after this? After his prayer in about an hour's time. So he is, I love this too. He is speaking as though his mission is already accomplished, knowing he's going to go through with it, knowing he's going to be successful. Now we go to the last section here, verse 29.
Verse 29.
This one's good too.
His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb.
Now, you know, they just said, now we see what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now you're speaking plainly, here's what they're really saying. Now we can accept it. Now we understand all that you're telling us. Now here's what Jesus is about to tell them.
Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God.
Now, you see that? They're saying, now we know, you know all things. And no one needs to ask you anything because you know everything. This is what they're saying. Oh, now we get it. You're going to the Father. You're going to leave. Oh, so what they are exclaiming here is, we can now accept it because now we see how it works. Mm. What Jesus is about to say, whether you see how it works or not, you should trust me. Mm-hmm. That's more important than, oh, now I see how it works. Mm-mm. You trust the Lord, whether you see how it's going to turn out or not. Whether you understand fully or not, trust is the most important thing.
Yes, sir.
And then when you trust him, you can have peace.
Yes, Lord.
You see how this third segment is peace. Yes. Watch how he builds to this. Jesus says,
Jesus answered them, do you now believe?
Meaning, oh, Jesus, if I may, Jesus saying, oh, now you believe because you feel you have a handle on it. So now that you see what's going on, mm-hmm. now you believe?
Yes.
You're supposed to believe me whether you understand what's happening or not. That's the point he's making.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, do you now believe? Here again, when it says, now, 30, now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from the Father. That's that same overconfidence like Peter had in John 13, 38. When you're overly confident. Read 13, 38. What is it?
John 13, 38. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice.
That's because Peter said, I'll follow you wherever you go, even unto death. Overconfidence. So here again, oh, now we believe because we have a handle on it. We understand things. I hope you all are getting what I'm saying here, what the scripture is saying here. That's why Jesus comes back with, do you now believe? Meaning, now that you think you have a handle on it, now that you see, you think you understand, I'm not speaking anymore in proverbial speech or figurative language. Now you're willing to believe because you feel you understand everything. You're supposed to believe me whether you understand everything or not. Jesus answered them, do you now believe?
Yes. 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come.
Now why did he say the hour is coming, yea, is now here? Because within an hour he will be arrested.
Amen.
Because after he does that prayer, the next chapter of 17, he ventures out and gets arrested. That's all within an hour of what's happening here right now. I don't know if we understood that before or took that into account. That's why Jesus said, the hour is coming, yea, and now has come. And that, now is.
That ye shall be scattered.
You all are going to be scattered. You're talking about, yeah, now we believe. You all are going to run, he said, all of you. But look at them. Oh, now we believe you. We got you down. We're with you, boss. Jesus said, do you now believe? Let me tell you something.
Yes.
The hour is coming. In fact, in the next hour, all of you are going to be scattered.
Yes. Every man to his own.
Every man to his own. Even Peter might put up a little fight for a minute with the sword. But what did Pete do? I'm not disrespecting him. Peter took off like the rest of them.
Yes.
They were scared. Jesus is saying, do you now believe? Oh, really? So you believe that once you understand the situation, once you have a handle on it, now that you understand my figurative or proverbial language, now that it's clear to you, now you believe? Do you now believe? Is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Yet you will all be scattered soon, each to his own.
And shall leave me alone.
Meaning, and you all will leave me alone. But now watch this as we build to the point of peace.
Yes.
Watch this. Jesus says, you all will leave me alone.
Yes. And yet, I am not alone.
Yet I am not alone. Mm-hmm. Why is he saying that? He's trying to teach them the reliance I have on the Father, and I know what's coming.
Yes, sir.
And you all are going to leave me. And yes, I will do my Gethsemane prayer, but that will be between Jesus. Notice they were asleep. Mm-hmm. And that was Jesus and God the Father. But Jesus is saying, and also that was showing his human side. Not that he was against the Father's will. His humanity, and him not wanting to be separated from the Father. He's never had that before. He's saying, I know that's coming. But he says, you will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me.
Amen.
This is the kind of, why is he saying that? Because even when you go through your persecutions, know that I am with you. Didn't I just tell you? I'm going to send another who will not leave you alone. who will be not only with you, but in you. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Now, what does he mean by that? That in me you may have peace. He's saying, see the kind of peace I'm going to demonstrate in these next few hours and days, and going to the cross and then coming up in resurrection. That kind of peace and dependence on the Father is the kind of peace that gives me composure in under pressure. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And what is he going to say? In the world you will have tribulation. Mm-hmm. But that's after he just told you, have peace. I'm about to go to the cross. But I have a certain kind of composure and calm and peace, knowing you all may leave me, but I'm not alone. The Father's with me. Yes. And that brings me peace. No matter what you're going through, don't you know Jesus is with you? Yes, then have that peace. But be of good cheer, no matter what tribulation you're going through. I have overcome the world. Look at that. He's knowing he's going to be successful. He hasn't even gone to the cross yet. He says, I've already overcome the world because I know it's going to happen. And I know when I go through whatever tribulation I go through, and you will go through tribulation, know that I'm with you, just as I know when all of you leave me and scatter, you'll come back. But you're going to scatter and leave me. I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Now, the kind of peace I have, disciples of mine, he was saying, have my kind of peace. Always composed under pressure. And you too will experience this joy, love, and peace. God bless you all. Peace be unto you.
The preceding program originated from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Apostolic Square at 22nd and Bainbridge Streets. Bishop Omega, Apostle and General Overseer. Sunday worship begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Write to Bishop Omega at Post Office Box 3880, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. You may access the replay of this broadcast by dialing into Audio Now at 641-793-4507. That's 641-793-4507. On behalf of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Bishop Omega wishes you the peace, love, and joy of Christ always.